Welcome to Pixelated Radio, playing the best of yesterday and today. I'm your host, Henderson Mann, and with me as always is Kush.
Hello.
And back with us this week, finally, after a two-episode hiatus, Rich.
Yeah, man, it's great to be back, man. And hopefully we'll get to the point where, as usual, is Rich as well. It's kind of a kind of a rough patch there, man.
Jeez. Yeah.
Good to be back, though.
I know what you mean. You said you were pretty sick, and I've been sick all week. I've been off work since I came home Wednesday night, and I couldn't deal with it. So
yeah, well, I had to miss 1 week because I had to go down for the other show to cover our first race of the season. And while I was down there, I got the freaking Florida plague. So yeah, I'm just now getting over it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what this. I can't describe what's wrong with me. I was just worn out and just like I'm not even coughing or anything. It's like. It's all in my head and my throat, but it's so weird and it's just. But
I've been fine.
No one asked usual. You. Kush.
Rub it in.
Yeah.
But
well, I've had my issues, just nothing physical exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, we've all had issues, man.
But it's all good now, I think, for all of us.
Yeah. I guess.
Okay. Way to be optimistic.
I had a date.
Yeah, tell me about it, man.
It didn't happen.
No. I had the first date. And then, you know, we were talking back and forth in text messages and blah, blah, blah. And then Monday, I'm at the vet, and I send her a message saying, hey, I'm at the vet with Halo, blah, blah, blah. And then she never wrote me back. And I wrote her back later on the day to see how her day was going. She goes, yeah, I'm getting back with my old boyfriend.
Well, you know what? It's better to have loved and lost than never loved at all, right?
I don't think he loved her. It's kind of a quote.
I know, but you know, I was just trying to find a quote that kind of fit. Like, that came to my head. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
I'm okay, but it was annoying. I'm just like, ugh, I don't have any luck whatsoever.
Hey, but hey, you know what, though, man? You put yourself out there, and I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
About time, man. You know? Hey, you know, it... You just get to the point where you don't care, and that's when you find true love. That's happened with me, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't care anymore. I was like, eh, whatever. Case and boom.
Dead.
I'm telling you, man. I'm not saying I'm as your friend, man. Come on. I'm not that old. Damn.
You are pretty old.
You're pretty old, Rich. Not jeez, old enough to be my dad.
What? Yeah. Why did I come back?
Like I feel old. But then I look at Rob and I'm like, damn, he's old. And that's the way he looks at you.
Yeah. Wow.
Just like,
I'll tell you what.
You're probably old enough to be Kush's dad. So
I'm holding it down for an old guy.
Probably. If you got busy when you were young. Probably. I'm talking about you being my dad.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Though you'd have to have.
Well, you are a smart ass.
So you would have to have done it with a very white woman.
Well, hey.
I'm pale as hell, man.
I've loved many women, so, you know.
Oh.
Not many, but my fair share. How's that? My fair share. My wife knows my track record.
Yeah, but she probably don't want to hear you talking about it longingly.
I think we should just make this entire episode about all his past conquests. Let's go through them all in detail.
That would take a few.
Oh, listen, Mr. Braggy McBraggerson over
here. Oh, no, actually, I'm only kidding, because half of them, man, some of them are pretty embarrassing, so.
And haven't you watched American Pie? For every three, it's only really one.
Yeah, and sometimes zero.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some truth to that. Probably more like one and two in my case.
I don't know what is happening.
Never been much of a braggart. But anyways, I'm psyched that you're getting back out there, right? That's what counts, man. And Kush, you're up.
What?
What?
Heard me. You're up.
Okay.
Anyway.
Why are you making that disgusting sound?
Well, if you shut up long enough, I would tell you. Because right now, I'm eating some motherfucking crow, okay?
Oh, God. That wasn't worth hearing that disgusting sound.
No, I'm enjoying this. Do go on, Rob.
So, I kind of love Titanfall.
You kind of? Dude.
It is awesome.
I'm sitting there looking at my Facebook and my Twitter and my. I'm like, okay, I'm having a dream. Okay, this is weird. What? Well, okay. Wow. Rob?
So Rob's
on drugs.
So let me explain something to you. I haven't played a beta in a game for more than 10 minutes, probably since Halo 3, all right?
Ditto.
And the Titanfall beta, I have put in probably 3 or 4 hours on because it is so amazing. And the sad thing is it's two maps. Two maps.
Hey, you know what, man? We get in this hobby of ours, we get so used to hearing about the next best thing and all the hype and blah, blah, blah. How many times have we been disappointed by the hype machine? Quite a few, right?
Tons.
Every time.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, I mean, Titanfall is freaking amazing. It's like, you know what, Rob? Like you said, it was like the first time you played Modern Warfare and you were like, oh my God, video games can do this?
Yeah. You know, the first time you play Modern Warfare, you're like, this game, you had the leveling system and all this stuff. You're like, this is so much fun. And then year after year, they kept bringing out the new ones. And every time you play it, you're just like, oh, this is the same thing as last year.
Right, right.
Go ahead.
The reason why I think, like, I've only played two matches, but why I think Titanfall works, and I think it's something that people complained about before they even played it, was that, you know, it's filled with all these AI bots and they're stupid. But I think that having those bots in there and they're fairly easy to kill, it always makes you feel like you're accomplishing something. Because even if you're not killing a human, you are killing a whole bunch of the computer characters.
You know, I've been reading some of the Titanfall forums. There's a lot of rabid COD fans are complaining about the bots and, you know, this should be a game about skill and blah, 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 blah. You know, there's a good reason why I don't play Call of Duty online. It's because people like that,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm pretty sure that the guys at Respawn realize that. And they're like, hey, we want to build a game for everybody.
Right. Because there is no single player component. And, you know, as much sad as that makes me, I don't think it really matters now actually playing the game.
Well, I'll tell you what. There's not a single game component, but from what I read, there's going to be a story. There's going to be two multiplayer. There's going to be a story multiplayer, and it's going to be like a jump in multiplayer. So I'm pretty excited about the, you know, the fact that there's going to be some sort of story in the game. You know, I don't know. I mean, from what I played with just to jump in, there's still like some kind of, they still do little cutscenes that kind of give the action some continuity, like in, you know, some kind of framework.
I imagine it's going to feel a lot like the Killzone 2 and the Uncharted 3 multiplayer.
Yeah.
They had little vignettes before and after.
Which works for me.
Yeah. So let's get into a little bit of the meat and potatoes of the game. So you start out in a match, you know, you're on foot. You never
start off with the tutorial.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah, the tutorials were really fun. I would like some more of those, you know, just like challenges or something like a Metal Gear type challenge system. Those could be a lot of fun. But
you know what was interesting about it too? It's like you're done with it, and I'm kind of like, wow, that's it. And then I get in the game, and I'm like, wow, I actually know how to do all this stuff because of it.
Yeah, but I go through several things in the game when I first started, right? So the first time, you kind of forget that you can jump up on walls and shit, and you don't know exactly how to use that skill. You know how to use it, but a lot of times your brain just can't put it together right away. And then the longer you play, the more you're like, okay, I'm going to jump here, jump off this wall, climb up here, run across these rooftops, and then jump in through the skylight, and boom, right there's the hard point where I've got to take the base. And all that works so well and flows together so well.
Yeah.
And when you've got the AI bots running around, they will do the same shit. They won't just like stay on the ground and attack. They'll fly around and jump on the buildings and they'll come and try to take hard points too. And I think that's kind of awesome.
Right. Okay. I'll tell you, for an example. Okay. My second game, right? I'm like, okay. So I'm kind of getting the flow of the game. You got to wait a little time before you can get your Titan. Mm-hmm. It comes down, you get in it and you do what you can do. Well, it's the second time I've used it. I bring it in. And I'm fighting like two Titans at once. I take the first one out because I was helping somebody else. Mm-hmm. He got blown up. And I'm about ready to die. And it's right before you eject. I get out. My Titan's still fighting. Mm-hmm. I equip my Titan killer gun. And me and my Titan are taking this Titan down. My Titan blows up just as I destroy the Titan with, you know, the enemy Titan. That was, I was like, that was awesome. The game is so flexible.
Like last night, I was playing a game and I literally dropped a Titan onto another Titan and killed it.
That's awesome.
So
that is awesome.
And it was in a fight with another one of our Titans. I was like, all right, I'm just going to drop this thing here. And it was so funny because I put it right in the middle of the fight and it kept backing up. And I'm like, it's not going to hit it. It's not going to hit it. And that son of a bitch moved forward at just the right time and boom. And I was like, Xbox, record that. So, yeah. But so Kush, you played two matches of it and you seem to like it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've only played the team deathmatch mode. None mm-hmm. of like the more whatever. Like you're talking about capturing points and stuff, but mm-hmm. I really like it. I think it's not like an amazing looking game, but it looks really good for all the stuff that's going on and like
especially in the skyboxes up above.
And it always it seems to like have it suffers from like a little bit of slowdown right when you start a match, but once mm-hmm. you get it going, it's like it runs perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And the weirdest thing to me, though, is that I think I actually like just being a regular, being the pilot, than being a Titan.
Right.
I think I just enjoy that more. I like being able to run around. And I still forget about things. Like, I forget you have that cloak all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I'll tell you this, too. So, as you can play the game that way. You don't ever have to get into Titan if you don't want to. And, you know, and a lot of times you can also just drop your Titan and put it in engage mode and it'll back you up. That's real handy in hardpoint because I'll be holding the hardpoint location and I'll point my Titan outside the window. And while it's out there, I'll put it in engage mode. And if anybody comes down the street, number one, it starts attacking them. And number two, it'll say, hey, your Titan's fighting a pilot. So you know, okay, there's a pilot maybe coming after me right now. So you can get ready for it. And that stuff just all comes in handy. And I don't know how, since Kush has only played two games, I bet you're probably on like level three, Kush, right?
Yeah, I think. I've been using the Assassin class
whatever. Yeah, I like the Assassin
and the
class
Assault
too.
Titan.
Yep. Right. I can't wait to see the other Titans as well. But what? How many games have you played, Rich?
I've only played like six. And to be honest with you, I'm trying to like not play too much because
I kind of don't want to play anymore because I'm like I'm already sold. I don't need to play more.
You know, and I understand they're trying to stress the servers and everything and
I've maxed out the level. I'm up to level 14 now for the demo or for the beta. And so I've gotten access to the burn cards and I don't know if you guys have read about these.
No,
read about anything.
I'm gonna slowly work my way up. I'm kind of dabbling, like Chris said. I don't want to ruin, the newness of it.
The one thing I do want to do, before, like I don't know, I'll probably just try out the other modes and then be done with it, just to see what those are like. But I do want to see. I want to see if my dad can handle this because I think the Assassin class with that smart pistol, which auto locks on, and because the enemy AI. You know, they are so easy to kill. All you got to do is get a red, one red circle on them. You pull the trigger, it automatically hits them and kills them. Mm-hmm. I think that, he'll end up dying, of course, but he'll be able to kill a lot of the stupid AI as well. And he'll feel like he's actually doing something. So mm-hmm. I'm going to see if maybe, because he loves first-person shooters, but he just can't handle them.
Right.
All that shit.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, the speed of like Call of Duty and having to actually manually aim, that just work for him.
You know what I found interesting too? It's like when I'm playing, I'm not really thinking about if I'm trying to kill a bot or a pilot. I just kind of whatever I run into, I try to kill. And it turns out, I mean, more or less, it's about 50-50 on the kills between pilots and bots when I've been playing games.
Oh yeah.
What about you guys?
I definitely kill more grunts than I do.
Aren't they called pilots. Minions?
Minions. Well, they call them grunts when you kill them. You know, your score says grunts. When you do at the end of the match, it says minions.
Yeah.
But it's
it does get crazy though when there are like five or six Titans all in one battle in one small area. That shit is crazy. And then if you're not in a Titan, you're just like I'm not. You guys hash it out.
And it's funny because there's a mode where it's all Titans, everybody's in a Titan, and those modes are funny because the two maps that you're on, you can't like. me, Big Steven, and a couple of other guys were playing last night, and we literally could not get all the Titans through areas because there were so many of us trying to walk side by side to go after the other enemy Titans that we would have to stand in line and wait. So some of those maps are
some
really
choke points.
Yes, yeah, so there's a lot of choke points for that too when you're in a mech, but when you're outside the mech, there's really no choke points because of the way you climb and everything. And it's, right. That's so much fun. You know, before it's like, oh, we can put a sniper here, and if he's a good sniper, he can take out 20 people. But now that sniper's got to worry because this dude can run completely around the map and come up behind you
exactly.
because he's doing rooftop running and stuff. But and all that works so fluid, and it's not hard to do, and that's what makes this awesome.
It's just incredibly well designed.
It is. It is
every front, and it's pretty damn amazing.
And what I was saying last night to Steven and them, I said they figured out a way to annihilate the whole idea of, oh, I'm going to break this game and find a way to get up on this rooftop so I can just snipe people and never die, because now that is almost impossible.
Yeah. You know, I was a little concerned when I heard that all the matches were 6v6. I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, no, man, we'll see how this works out. But playing the game, man, I mean, I am completely sold on it.
Yeah, I mean, since you have those AI, you're always running into something. There's always something everywhere.
And let's not forget, this is still a beta we're playing.
Right.
I can't wait to see what the final product looks like.
I would put beta in quotes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, another thing, I think that this game is special because of probably with something that you really can't see. It's just the barrier to entry, man. It seems like anyone can pick this game up. You know, I'm looking at it. When you look at the video, it's like a lot of that vertical play seems a little daunting. Like, wow, how mm-hmm. am I going to be able to do this? But once you start playing, it's so freaking intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
It's. I mean, anybody can pick it up and do it.
Yeah, I'm going to test that out by letting my father
play. Yeah, I bet your dad's going to kick some butt. Yeah. I mean, I really think it.
I love the behind the back melee kill where you just snap the neck all the way around, and then because I also got killed that way once, and it turns your head all the way around, so you see your killer just before you die.
Dude, I got drop kicked. I didn't.
Yeah, the drop kick is awesome.
Too. I was like, what the heck?
So I wanted to get real quick. I wanted to get back to the burn cards because I think this is a really cool concept. When you get to a certain level, you start unlocking these burn cards, and you get so many places that you can put a burn card on your character. And in a way, they're kind of like perks, but here's how they work. It's different. Every time you die, you've got your three burn cards that you can choose from. And if you die and you want to use an ability, say, oh, I want to use prosthetic legs on this character. So when you respawn, you can hit that card. You lose that card permanently.
Right.
But you get to run faster, or you get a neural link where you can hit, when you hit your cloak button, it sends out a wave that where you can see like enemies and stuff through walls, and you know it's like a radar thing where it pulses out, so you'll see where they're at, and you'll see them climbing on walls and shit, and just like you'll see them there 1 second, and the next second they're somewhere else, so you know where they're all coming from, and that's all real helpful. The way you earn these burn cards back is certain grunts are tagged as burn card grunts, and if you kill this grunt, you'll get a burn card, and sometimes you'll get like two or three a match. And so that, I think that really adds a thing to the game where it's not a perk, because there's not really a perk system as per se of modern combat, but these cards and stuff are your perk system, and it means that not everybody, you're not always going to have a juggernaut ability or whatever, right. and there's just tons of them,
right?
And they said they're not going to sell these as microtransactions, so you know that you got to earn them in game, and I think that's a really great idea.
Yeah, you know, and again, something that this game has over Call of Duty. I mean, in Call of Duty, I mean, if you stink at the game, you're not going to get the perks. And the mm-hmm. people who are really good are going to keep getting the perks, and they're going to keep on smoking you, whereas this kind of levels the playing field a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm. So anything else about Titanfall before we move on?
Anyone can play it now, which is cool. You know, I'm glad they opened up the beta.
I thought that happened tomorrow.
No, it happened last night.
Yeah, there's an ad on the...
I think it's on PC. It's supposed to happen today.
Whatever. All I saw was the 17th, so that might be PC.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm looking at the ad right now on my Xbox, and it's Titanfall beta.
Maybe you should be focusing on the show and not on your Xbox.
Wow, you talk to all your elders like that?
Yes, I do. That's exactly how I talk to my father.
So, so speaking of multiplayer games, me and Kush played something Friday night when I'm
play
sick of the
is
dog.
That's a kind word to say.
We played some Disney Infinity.
Yeah. Well, we played Rob's custom level area, and we went through it, and then there was nothing else left to do, so he was just throwing his pan at me over and over again.
Yes, Rapunzel's frying pan throwing ability is way overpowered.
Because it completely knocks you out. It's like I think it was the only one that anyone used that completely like just flipped you up in the air. Ridiculous.
It was amazing.
Oh my god!
I saved the princess and I ran away with her, and Kush was chasing me, and I'd throw her down, and I'd try to sneak around the corner and hit him with a frying pan just to slow him down more.
And then you got her in the sewer dungeon,
and then we couldn't get her out.
Place that there's no way of getting her out.
I guess I could have thrown her back up through the hole, but maybe. Anyway. Maybe. So yeah, we played Disney Infinity on my custom level. I can't wait for Disney Infinity to add more to that game. So,
and anyone who wants figures, there's currently, I mean, they're discounted right now on Amazon along with a buy two get one free deal. So if you're looking for some of the other ones, I picked up all the three female figures I didn't have, which was the what's her face from Wreck-It Ralph,
Vanellope,
Rapunzel. And then the daughter from The Incredibles, and it was like a total for like $17 or something.
That was the three pack, right? Was it a three pack?
That's a three pack, but I got it.
Yeah.
I got them separately.
Gotcha. I was like, I'm pretty sure that is a three pack. So yeah
that is a that's why I never bought them, because I knew the three pack was coming out, but then this deal. So
that was such a real weird three pack release.
Yeah.
But
some of the packs are just weird.
Yeah, so I played some Loco Cycle, and Kush, I think you played some Loco Cycle.
Yep. Yeah, I did too.
And you played it too, Rich?
Yeah, $9.99, what the hell?
So, I don't think the game is that great. I mean, it's pretty much a one-trick pony.
Yeah, it's just born repetitive and super easy.
But here's the thing. I remember everybody talking about how racist
that,
this game was.
Exactly. I don't think it's that racist. I mean, I'd say probably the most racist part is the beginning, that video. But it's more so racist like Punch-Out is. Where it's just like, here's these ridiculous stereotypes.
Right.
It's not cruel.
No, it's not cruel at all. I honestly just think it just kind of falls a little. I think it's guilty of just falling a little flat.
Yeah.
It's not funny.
You know?
I think it's hilarious.
I don't think it's funny at all. And I think it is stupid as hell to have a character speaking a different language and subtitles on screen when you have to pay attention to action.
Yeah, that does, it gets annoying.
But I guess it doesn't really matter because everything he says isn't funny. He's just saying, like, you're dragging me. This isn't nice. Stop it.
Oh,
that's like
my
he
head.
Never says anything
I'm
funny.
Still alive.
Oh, my elbow. Oh, poor
my
me.
Pants.
Why did I buy the
live action stuff is so weird though.
It is.
I do think the game's funny, though. I do think the things that the Loco Cycle says is funny. It's like, when we hit 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some real shit. And I'm just like, oh, my God, they said shit.
That was funny. That was funny.
But, like, I'm real early in the game, too, and I could definitely see how it would get very boring because it is a one-trick pony, and it's just like there's no excitement. But
I'm just surprised by how easy it is, because Twisted Pixel
makes them hard as balls,
very
man.
Hard
yes.
games. And this one is just like ridiculously easy. Like, I don't know how anyone could lose ever.
You know what? I think it was one of those deals where they got into production and they realized in order to execute some of this stuff, they had to dumb it down because if you made it too hard, no one would finish the game.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, even the QuickTime event sections are really, they're really forgiving.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. But you know, I thought the first boss battle with Spike was pretty clever. They did some clever stuff there where he would try to hit you with the back tire and stuff. And
at least the counter system is better than the counter system in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Out of the Shadows.
That's not saying much.
Alrighty. So Rich, I seen that you played Lightning Returns Final
Fantasy. Yes, against your better judgment, yes, I picked it up, man.
I actually, hearing some people talk about it, I'm kind of interested in it.
Dude,
it sounds like my Final Fantasy game.
I'll tell you what, man. Right now, I am just dying to play an RPG. Because usually I go through these cycles, and because of the you know, the newness of the systems. RPGs are some of the last games to come out for new systems. So I am absolutely dying to play an RPG. And I spent like the better part, we had a snow day. And I spent the better part of the day trying to make my wife convince me to buy the game. And she wouldn't do it. And she's a Final Fantasy nut. And she wouldn't do it. I'm like, come on, just, you know. And I finally just, and then I said, oh, that's Rob's. I went on Twitter. I'm like, Rob, come on, man. Tell me what I want to hear. And Rob's like, don't buy this game. This is garbage. So I bought it anyways.
And is it garbage?
And I'll tell you what. I hate lightning. I hate lightning. How do you make
How do you feel about thunder?
Thunder is much. I will, you know, I have a thunder buddy, so I'm all right with thunder. I do.
But don't ask him how he feels about snow right now.
Oh, no, poor baby,
dude. I'll tell you what. Despite lightning, I am still finding some redeeming qualities in this game. I do like Rob is probably going to say here in a few minutes. The whole time thing. And having a time limit really annoys me because it takes me out of how I usually play JRPGs. And some of the side quests are real mixed bag. Some of them are kind of almost funny, but kind of interesting. And some of them are total garbage.
They're all fetch quests.
Well, it is. That's all. Well, that's what
the RPGs entire game is nothing but one giant fetch quest. It's like... okay, so the first main area of the game, once you open up the game world or whatever, and you're in the city, they tell you, oh, you got to find out what's going on with these murders. And then it's like, oh, you got to find the code for this door. So you find the first three fucking codes of the door, and it's like, and Hope the whole time's like, hey, you need to find that last code to the door. So I'm like, where the hell is this? Like, I'm looking and looking, time's just clicking down.
And the warrens are closed.
Yes, and they don't tell you that. So you have to get to the Warrens to find the last piece of code. And the whole time, Hope's like, you need to find this other code. You know, we've got
to
find
this code.
It's
time to go. It's 6 o'clock.
And you're like, I don't understand. And you're like frustrated. So I got online thinking, I got to find this fucking code because this timer's counting down. And then I look online. Oh, well, you can't even get through this door until after 6 o'clock.
Or
midnight. You can't get through that door until midnight. And you're like, well, fuck, why is Hope telling me the entire time to find this other code? Because he knows, game knows that shit's behind the fucking locked door I can't get through right now.
Right.
Oh, just...
Now, yeah, so some of the design in this game is super frustrating. But the reason why I finally broke down and bought the game, I love the combat system.
I love the combat system in the demo.
Love it.
But, love it. Okay, hold on a second. Are you playing on normal or easy?
Dude, I'm playing on easy. This game is a hot.
And that's why I think I'm hating this game. Is because I just read the review for it in Game Informer, and they're like, please, even if you play games on normal all the time, start this game on easy.
Oh yeah,
because
definitely.
It's so difficult if you're playing
on
normal.
So frustrating, especially when you run into like things like that with that code. It's like, come on, really? It's bad enough that. It's hard to figure out half of what they want you to do in order to progress the game. But if you're having a hard time with bosses on top of it, my God. Yeah. So I'm definitely playing the game on easy.
Yeah, I think maybe I need to restart it on easy.
Yeah, yeah. I would highly recommend that.
And see if I like it. But I do not like this fact that there's an RPG that you don't level up by killing enemies. You level up by doing stupid-ass fetch quests. And when I say level up, I use that term loosely because basically all it does is like, oh, here's a plus 40 to your your hit points, and here's a plus 20 to your strength, and here's a plus 20 to your magic. And I'm just like, I don't want to do that kind of crap. I want levels. I want to feel like when I'm fighting a monster, it's doing something for me besides giving me money.
Right.
And it even gives you so little money, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So
well, I'm just at a point now where I'm not trying to play it like I play like a normal RPG. I'm just playing it within the framework of what they gave me, and I'm trying to. I'm finding a little bit of enjoyment out of it. Now that being said, if an Elder Scrolls or a Dragon Age or The Witcher was out, I would not be playing this game.
Yes. And I will say this too: if you ever run out of time completely. It starts a new game plus, and you start up with all your stats, but you start back at the beginning, like kind of like a Dead Rising type of deal. But to me, this is a terrible designed RPG, and I can see why I got fucking panned in Japan.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. Anyway, I'll let you guys talk about The Wolf Among Us. I'm going to go to the restroom because I don't want to hear anything about this because I have not played episode 2 yet.
Okay.
Even though I have bought it, so.
Alrighty. Well, I beat it. I actually played the first episode, like, right when the second one came out, and then I'm playing the second one, so I'm all up to date.
Oh, cool.
And I enjoyed the second episode, but I think it was way more of a, let's just move some story points, not give you that much action, seemed shorter than the first episode. And I am kind of annoyed, but I was not at all surprised by how it started with the big twist, you'd want to call it. I mean, I saw that coming. Right. But I mean, overall, I enjoyed it. I just think it was like the most, this is the episode for, this would be a great first episode just because there is like so little action that like anyone could play this and not even have to worry about those Twitch moments where it's like, oh, I got to move the little icon to this icon and press the right trigger. I mean, there's like nothing really at all in this.
Well, you know, much like the first season of The Walking Dead, you know, it was the same thing with episode 2 of that. It was more of like a setup for what was to come. Yeah, I guess my biggest problem with it was, you know, I had a season pass, and
yeah, it was so screwed up. I mean, we all got sent. We all ended up getting sent codes.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, and. The thing is like me and my wife, we both had been waiting for this for like a while. So we're just like, ah, screw it. We just spent the $5. We couldn't wait for the thing.
That's I never even would have known about it if I didn't Google it because I have notifications off. I rarely see that I have messages when I have them. But then I was looking at, oh, they sent a message. And then I checked. I'm like, oh, there it is. Super weird.
I'm totally digging it. I can't wait for episode. Hopefully episode 3 doesn't take.
I was really surprised by the percentage when I finished it of the last like big moment of how I was in the minority. I was like 17% did what I did. I was like, really? I'm surprised so many people would do the other thing. That was weird. I'm not gonna say what it is, but
yeah, all I'm gonna say is if you haven't played Wolf Among Us, pick it up because it's really good.
I like it way more than The Walking Dead. I just think the world and the character. I think everything about it is way more interesting.
Yeah.
And also, me and Kush did play one other thing. We played a game called Frustration with dealing with the Xbox One party system again.
Got stupid shit. Horrible. Well, I did at least figure out, well, who knows if it'll work on Xbox One because we weren't able to try it out. But I did think I figured out why we weren't able to hear each other because I had them muted on the 360 still, apparently, even though I thought I turned it off. So I fixed that.
But then we started trying to play Dead Rising, and it started doing the same shit where it wouldn't let us join the chat, and I just quit. I just quit the Xbox, and then Kush wouldn't talk to me the rest of the night.
I was done with everything.
That other update is coming out right before March, Titanfall. So hopefully, it's sometime before the 11th.
It's embarrassing that it's not already out.
Yes, this should have been the first thing they focused on.
It should have been out months ago.
The shit that they just released this weekend in a patch should have been on the system day one. And then the shit that this shit should have been fixed.
There should be some kind of date for Twitch, and I would like to hear anything at all about the external hard drive support they talked about, which they've never mentioned since.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, definitely.
I think Sony caught Microsoft with their pants down. They weren't ready to put this out, and they had to put it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, just thankfully we're in an age now where we don't have to wait a whole cycle for a new a new console to fix the problem. So.
Well, the thing is with the Xbox One, it wasn't so much Sony caught them with their pants down in any way, but the fact is the DRM thing fucked them up so bad they had to spend so much time fixing that they probably couldn't get everything else.
The problem was that they were going to do something completely different, and then they realized that, oh, wait, people aren't going to like this. We can't do that. We can't make such a big change in the industry by ourselves. We would need Sony. You need to have everyone do it because people are very resistant to change.
Right. Yes, they are.
And well, that's why we're not so much resistant. Yes, we are.
Well, no, I want to say we're resistant to change when we don't see any benefit for us through it. We will change if there's benefit through it. I mean, we bought these new consoles. That's change. You know, we're focusing more on these new consoles.
I wouldn't call new consoles changes. I was like, oh, it's new and shiny. Right. It's like a new phone. It's not a big change or anything. It's just like, oh, this gives me, this is like a little tiny upgrade. Because these systems are not, they're just the same shit. They're just like, oh, it's a little prettier. Oh, look. Look at Lara Croft's hair. Oh, isn't she pretty? Okay. Look, her butt is a little bit higher def. I feel like I can almost touch it. Oh, look at me going for it. Touchy touch. Oh, no, it's still just a TV. I can't touch her butt. I can't put my finger in her butthole.
We need to get you a
okay.
I really want to play that game, though. I don't know why. Like, maybe it's because there's still hasn't been anything really new that's interested me, and there's nothing for the new system, but I really do want to play it. Though, I mean that Plants vs. Zombie game comes out in like a week or something, so I'm hopeful for that.
I almost bought like three different things this week just because I am dying to play new stuff. That's why I bought Loco Cycle.
Yeah, Power Star Golf. That is the game to get.
I wish I'd have bought that when it was on sale.
I love that game. That is one of my favorite Xbox One games. So good.
So anyway, I'm going to move into what I have been playing. Mm-hmm. I picked up the 360 Fable Anniversary, and I was excited to play this. So I actually started playing it and remembered it's more a Fable 1. It does include the Lost Chapters content.
Yeah, I heard it's really just like exactly the same thing. Like, they didn't change anything. They took none of the bugs have been taken out or anything. It's just like, oh, here's the same game.
Yeah, it definitely runs at a higher frame rate and stuff, but the load times are definitely better, and that was my biggest complaint with original Fable. But the graphics, they say it's a new engine, but the graphics look pretty much the same. And like, even like when you go into the town in that first little area when you're trying to get the money for the chocolates for your sister, it's like, oh my God, there's a lot of hiccup here and annoying shit like that. So it doesn't look as great as I think it should. And, you know, it really does. It is a step back from Fable 2. You know, and, except for the magic system, I still think it's always been better in Fable 1 than Fable 2. I never liked the Fable 2 and 3 magic system at all. Yeah. So, but, you know, it's Fable, and I played a little bit of it, and I was kind of like, yeah, I'm not feeling it. We've moved on since then. So,
and, you know, I would recommend it to somebody who hasn't played it, though.
Well, see, I've played Fable, and I've played the original Fable years ago, but I didn't play very much of it because I got bored with it, and I thought this would be better because I'd have achievements and stuff, mm-hmm. and it's just not enough to make me really want to play it.
Yeah, see, I didn't even think about it because I played the hell out of it. I played all the Fables, and I was like, it's just the same game over.
Did I spell anniversary wrong?
That's okay.
also, something that I played that's old that's got a new fresh coat of paint on it is Far Cry Classic, which is the original Far Cry game. They put it on PS3 and Xbox 360 this week. And Kush was surprised to hear this was even a thing.
I never even heard it was coming out. And I guess there's they're going to be coming out with like a collector's pack or something with all the games.
Yeah, it
or
came
something.
Out this week as well, I think.
Whatever. I don't know.
So it came with Far Cry 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, look, all these new releases, they're all old crap. Here's the first Fable game. Here's the first Far Cry game. Here's Tomb Raider over again.
So I played a little Far Cry Classic. It's fun, but I'm not in the mood for that right now. I'm just not in the mood for anything old at the moment.
Meat and ditto.
I can only play little bits of stuff at a time. I did pick up the Lego Movie video game. I was real worried about this because there was no coverage, no videos or anything of this game before it came out. And so I decided to go ahead and pick it up because I just needed something. Like, I love the Lego video games, and it's pretty cool. It has a lot of the voice acting from the movies. I think it even has Morgan Freeman actually doing lines that weren't in the movie. So,
oh, wow.
It's really cool. But I think one of my favorite things about this game is, since we've all seen the movie and you know how Emmett can't really build shit, you know, right. without instructions. Right. It's kind of funny because, you know, every Lego game's got that pile of bricks that you got to build something out of. Uh-huh. Well, if you use him, he just starts putting brick on top of brick to make some stupid totem. And he just shrugs his shoulders like, I don't know. And then
should make him make a double-decker sofa.
I keep hoping it's in there somewhere. But apparently he just starts, you know, you'll try to make a cart and he'll put the wheel on top of a brick or something. And just like, I don't know.
That's funny.
You know, and the game is pretty funny too. It's like, you play that blind wizard that's Morgan Freeman, and he can't see. So a lot of times there's puzzles and stuff in the game where you got to cross a gap, and they're like, "I'm not doing that because it's too scary," and he's just blind, so he does it. And he's like, "There'll be a fire underneath of him." He goes, "Is there something on fire underneath me?" And Emmett's like, "Nope, nope, you're fine. Just keep going." it's really funny. I think the game's pretty funny. So, and then a game that is not funny is Outlast on PS4. This is the first game that ever gave me scared the shit out of me enough where I couldn't play it. So yeah. I have become a.
Do you play a lot of horror games where you can't fight back?
No, I don't like this.
Okay, well then that's why.
Yeah,
because I mean, if you played like Amnesia, The Dark Descent, if you had a PC that could run it, that would do it for you.
Yeah, I tried to play Amnesia, but I just didn't. I couldn't get into it early on. But yeah, Outlast. No, I was like, I'm gonna play. I'm gonna be cool. I'm gonna play it the way it needs to be played. I turned off my lights in my room. I put on my 5.1 headset. I closed the bedroom door, so I'm in the total dark.
Did you stream this to Twitch with webcam of yourself?
Yeah, but nobody was watching it.
I didn't know this was happening.
Well, it was like
you need to play it again.
I just saw your video. I saw the video you posted. That was about it, though.
You got to play it again.
Yeah, I don't know if I can. Literally, I mean, it was. I screamed like a little girl several times. I'm not gonna fucking lie about it.
That's why you need to play it again for everyone to see.
I screamed like a fucking little girl. There's one scene where you're trying to scoot through this little narrow area, and I heard this voice behind me, and it grabbed me and pulled me and twisted me towards it. I fucking screamed.
And then you went.
So, yeah, that game's fucking scary. I don't think I can do it. I don't think I could do it anymore. Like, literally, my heart was beating, and
your heart was beating. I hope it was beating, because you might be dead if it wasn't beating.
My heart was racing, and there were times when like getting fucking chased by something. Oh my god, it was fucking with me. It was really fucking with me. I couldn't. Oh my god! And I was like, I'm gonna die. I had to restart over, and I'd fucking duck behind a fucking wall, like a shelf or something, and I'd hear the monster come in. And I could watch it through the fucking slats of shit that's on the shelf, and I'd fucking watch it start to walk towards me, and I was just boop, 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 my heart's just racing, and fucking thing would turn around. And I'm like, yeah. And I played this all on Twitch. Nobody watched it, so. Maybe, I don't know, I'll have to do it some other time, but it was like in the middle of the night, nobody was up, probably, so I put it on Twitter that I was playing it, so you guys gotta watch that Twitter. And the last thing that I've played this week, is Bravely Default on the 3DS.
This makes me want to get my own 3DS.
I told you, you be a man, and you take that damn 2DS away from your children.
You mean be a scumbag and take it from my kids?
You tell them, look. When I was your age, I didn't even deserve Zelda. So,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, the thing is, man, if they were just playing some bullshit game, I might even think about that. But they're really starting to get into Zelda. I can't. That's just not even human to do that. The kid's getting into Zelda. I mean, that's a rite of passage. I'm not going to destroy a rite of passage for my own game.
So this game, Bravely Default, really kind of takes back to the old heyday of Final Fantasy games. You get four characters. It has a job system from Final Fantasy V. You start out with like four classes. Actually, you start out with one class, the Freelancer, kind of. Which is a catch-all class. It's not good at anything. It's not perfect at anything, but it's not really bad at anything either. It just can't cast magic spells and stuff like that. But and you start to get other characters in the game. You eventually get four characters, probably within the first 2 hours of the game. There's a demo for it, but the demo is kind of a bad demo because there are literally monsters out in the field that will kill you in one hit with certain spells. And I think that was a terrible demo.
It's also not exactly a demo, right? It's a separate thing.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's a separate thing. It shows you how the game is, and you can earn stuff unlocks for the real game, and it doesn't take place for it's not like a section cut out of the game. But in a way, it is. Why I say it's a demo is because it's teaching you how to play the game. But this game holds your hand a little bit longer. And basically, the whole system is why it's called Bravely Default, is you've got your attack and your magic and stuff like that, but you've also got a situation called Brave and one called Default. Now, what default is basically block. So when you, if you hold mm-hmm. you hit default, you save your turn, which increases your defense, and it also gives you more attacks. So basically what the brave is, if you hit brave, it gives you an extra attack a round, but you're buying against your next round. So if you buy, if you take a brave point, then that means next round you won't get to attack at all. And you can take up to three of these. So you can lose your next three turns, which this is real handy when you're fighting weak enemies. Cause if you get, what I usually do is go into a fight and go brave, 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 brave for everybody. Mm-hmm. And they attack all the monsters and kill them usually with, for the first round's over. And if you kill everything in the first round, you get challenge points and stuff like that that go to your job points and your experience points. So you kind of want to kill these enemies as quick as possible because you get more experience that way. And, but you're, you know, if you do this in a boss battle, it could fuck you up because you could literally use all your turns up on a boss. And for the next four turns, that boss is doing nothing but decimating you and you have no way to heal or nothing. And you just hope that it pays off. So you kind of got to watch what you do, but it's a real interesting combat system. I think the worst part about this game is they don't start you out with enough classes. And some of the mm-hmm. classes are hugely overpowered. Like the monk, once you get that thing up to like level 3, you're doing like 5 or 6 hits in an attack, and you're doing like 200 points of damage on a monster. And like your classes like the knight, which are, mm-hmm. are basically high defense classes, but they're doing like 12 and 13 hits a attack. And you're like, well, why the fuck would I ever use a knight when I've got these monks that are just decimating people? And then later on, you get the thief class. If you give her a bow and arrow, it's like amazing how much damage she can do, or he or she can do, because anybody can be any class. So it's a good game. I'm having a lot of fun with it. It's a good RPG. It's just feels, you know, it feels old school. And if you're not into the old school, you're probably not going to like it.
What about the story? How is it story wise?
It's like I said, it's a very old school type of Final Fantasy story. You're trying to reset these four crystals.
Okay.
And, but the characters are pretty interesting. You've got like a character named Tiz, who's just like your normal hero character, and then mm-hmm. Agnes is a female who's a Vestal. She's the one that can actually redo the crystals, and then the other two characters that are with you, like Ringabel, is like a real womanizer, and he's always saying stuff about the beautiful women and stuff, and it's just funny. And then the last girl, she's basically a traitor. She was your enemy, but she didn't like the way that the bad guys were doing things, so she joined your side. So
okay,
it's interesting, and it's also got this mode where basically it's like a mobile game where you got to rebuild the city. So you mm-hmm. I've always got my 3DS on now, and it's always doing stuff in the background, like you want to get weapons from this weapon shop. Well, it's going to take you 7 hours. Because you've got one person. Oh, but if you street pass with people, you know, you get, every time you street pass with somebody that's played Bravely Default, you get another person to move into this town. Or once a day, you can do a net invite, and a net invite like up to 4 people that to add to your town. So like right now, I've got 22 people, but there are like things in that town. It's like, okay, it's going to take you 46 hours to get this item. So, but every person you put to it, half that time. So, you know, if you put all 22 people you got, then, oh, okay, it's only going to take 2 hours and something to do this, to get this item. So it's real interesting. There is some microtransactions to it. You can buy some SP potions, which are kind of shitty. I'm not going to lie. It's 50 cents for like 3 extra attacks in a round.
It should be something. 55 okay. cents.
Yes. That's an old joke there, in case anybody didn't get that.
Yeah, and if you're under the age of 18, don't try and look it up.
So anyway, that's Bravely Default. So Rich, let's get to what you've been playing.
Grid 2.
Okay, well, outside of what we've all been playing, let me see here. First and foremost, a game that hasn't been getting a lot of attention, but I'm really digging it. World of Tanks on a 360. This has to be the first freemium game I played that really has clicked with me. You know, when it was still in beta, you could only play as Americans, and it was really limited in what you could do. And I was like, this is okay. The mechanic wise and everything, it was all right. But when the actual full game launched, wow, it's really deep without being like cumbersome and daunting.
So the full game's out.
Yeah, the full game. I thought it was like next week. Out. Nope, it's out. It's out. It's freaking really fun.
Are there
really
achievements tied to it?
Yes, there are. I got a few already.
Have you put money into it?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there. now you have like I think 5 classes. You have like recon tanks, medium tanks, heavy tank, tank killer, artillery, and they all have pros and cons on what you can do with them. There are microtransactions, but I'm just basically grinding it out because the battles themselves are so much fun. It's basically, if you can look at it as a first person shooter with classes, but way slower because you're in a tank instead of running around as a person. It's really good though. It's really good. I mean, you can spend the money if you want to, but one thing I like about the game too is, especially when you're starting out, and there's people who are more leveled up with their tanks than you, you are going to die a lot. So what you can do is you start off with 5 different classes. So say you're playing as a medium tank and you get killed. Well, while that game is still going on, you can start another game, say with a tank killer. So you can constantly be working on your tanks while, other matches you're in are finishing up, and you'll get your experience points or what have you after the fact. So there isn't much of a, if you want to, you can just grind up pretty quick, and you can spend money, but you really don't need to unless you just have to speed things up. I highly recommend it. At the very least, check it out. It's free, and I think it's pretty good, and I'm glad they put it in beta, because I haven't run into many like glitchy issues either in the menus or in the gameplay itself. Definitely check it out. And I will say this, I may be a little biased with this game too, because my first unit when I was in the army was an armor unit, so I know a little bit about armor, so it was kind of cool. Highly recommend it. The second game I want to talk about a little bit is on my Vita. God, what is that guy's name? The guy who did Tempest, Mentor. I know his last name is Mentor.
Jeff Mentor.
Yeah. Oh my! I've been waiting for this game for a while. I'm one of the few people who love Space Giraffe. So I was.
I thought Space Giraffe was perfectly fine.
Yeah. So
and even like his iOS games, I think there was a Minotaur one, and something else.
Right. Well, the spiritual successor to Tempest, was it Tempest 2000 on the Jaguar?
That would be a direct sequel.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The game is called TXK, and it's essentially Tempest on your Vita. And it is a lot of fun. I'm digging it. There's a really cool risk-reward mechanic in it. If you've ever played Tempest, things get kind of hairy pretty quick. And you can use bombs to get out of sticky situations, but then you lose the points. It's not that, I think it's like, $9 or something like that. If you got a Vita and you want something that's easy to pick up and play and have some fun with, highly recommend it. And I guess the only thing I've been playing is kind of an old game, but it's new to me, and I just want to mention it real quick. Miramosa Rebirth, which is sort of an action RPG. I know a lot of people love what's that game? Dragon Crown.
Mm-hmm. No, nobody really cool. loves that. Nobody loves that.
Cool game.
What's Dragon Crown? Remind me, Rich.
it's a side-scrolling RPG with network capabilities, and you've got.
Oh yeah, I played
classes.
That.
Yeah. Well, this is sort of along those lines, but
same studio.
It's not. Yeah, same studio. Not you don't have the network capabilities. You only can you can play as two characters, which have 2 separate stories, and I know it's a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying the combat.
I really
in it.
Liked it.
I played it on the Wii back in the
day.
Yeah,
way and better than Dragon's Crown.
I was tempted to pick it up on Vita, but it was on sale at one point, and I almost picked it up, but for some reason I didn't. And I've kicked myself ever since.
Oh man, it's only like 20 something. I think I got paid like $25 for it, something like that. If you like Dragon Crown, definitely pick this up. I mean, it's a quality game. It looks freaking fantastic on the Vita too.
Finishing it on Wii with the female, and got about halfway through with the male character, and I just got bored with it.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
But again, another awesome pick up and play game on your Vita. So that's about the only things I've been playing. I've been playing a lot of Assassin's Creed too. I picked that up, but I think that's been talked into the ground, so I'll just right let on. That one go.
All right, Kush.
So, what about you, Kush?
Well, I've been playing a decent amount of Crimson Dragon. I don't really like it, so I don't know why. Okay. I am. Like, one reason is I just sort of boot it every day to get that free, like, you get free daily crap. So I'll do that, and then I might play a mission or so, but it's just, I mean, it does happen pretty early on where you have to start playing the same level over and over again to level your guy up so that you can go and play the other levels. And it's just, when I look at the game, I'm like, this is kind of generic. It could be okay, but why does it look so ugly? It's a game that should be the best looking game on the Xbox One because it's not doing that much. Mm-hmm. And it should showcase the system. I mean, that's what this kind of game, like, it's the fighting, like, it's simple combat, but it's ridiculously hard. Though it can, once you start getting the roll and just timing that right, you can pretty much avoid everything. Because even if it's usually like dead on with you, if you roll, he dodges it. It's not like you have to be above it or below it either. In most cases, so utilizing that is very key. And sometimes, yeah, you have to realize that it's better to finish the level without killing as many enemies than to finish and like, or not finish and just kill everyone until you die. Because not every enemy you have to kill. There are certain ones where you're going to have to kill them to pass, but there are other ones where you can just keep dodging. But yeah, it just gets annoying when it becomes this game where like, okay, I have to just grind forever and do these things. And it doesn't really tell you a lot about all the different, I mean, the menu system, and like, there's so many things going on, and like, you can hire this, hire that, you can have this added to your, and I mean, it's like, you didn't explain any of this to me. So that's just annoying. But it's okay. I wouldn't recommend picking it up. But if you have it, you can play it, and you'd be like, oh, this is okay.
You answered my question before I even asked it.
Yeah. So I would say I would recommend it over Local Cycle. I think there's more game to it. Because, I mean, Local Cycle is a really short game from everything I've heard and read and just checked myself. And I don't see any reason to play it again after you finish it. But, I mean, if you are somebody who doesn't mind the grind, you can get a lot of play out of Crimson Dragon. And there is a multiplayer component that I don't know how that works. But it exists. So, I mean, and the leaderboard system is kind of nice just to see all that. But it's just not that. It could be so much better. That's why it's disappointing, because it could be a lot better. And then the other, not game, but the thing I've been playing, messing around with, better off saying, is Art Academy Sketchpad for the Wii U. And I just, since I am I'm an okay artist, and I kind of do that for money and things, I just like dicking around with those kind of programs. And it's a decent enough art app. The input on the Wii U pad it's pretty good. I mean, it's not comparable to a Wacom tablet or like the Microsoft Surface, but compared to an iPad or, you know, whatever other kind of touch devices, it's pretty good. And I like that app just because you get to draw and then you put it up on the Miiverse. And then I really love the Miiverse and how it allows people to just interact with each other without knowing each other, and it's a very nice community. So far, I haven't experienced any real douchebaggery, so I like that. It's nice.
What is your name on the Wii U?
Cause Pixelated I need to add Sausage. I sent you a request or whatever, I think.
No, I didn't see it, so I'll have to check again.
I don't know. But yeah, it's Pixelated Sausage, because I couldn't remember it for the longest time, because I created one as soon as I could when they opened it up on the 3DS. And then I was trying to remember what it was. And I was going through a pain to try and connect the two things. It was a nightmare. But, yeah, I am Pixelated Sausage on the Wii U.
Real quick, you know who, you know the podcast Orange Lounge Radio, Rich?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know Loki, right?
Yeah, Loki, yeah.
I was just reading on Twitter, his laptop got destroyed by the Titanfall beta.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
He said it overheated his laptop and ruined it.
Oh, my God.
But he said, that being said, Titanfall was fucking awesome. So if a game can ruin your computer and you
like, oh, man, I feel so bad for him.
That's terrible.
So you should have got an Xbox One.
Yeah, he didn't get any of the new systems because he had a computer and he didn't need any.
Right, yeah.
He's
one of those.
Is that the podcast that, like, goes about saying it's, like, one of the longest-running ones?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I remember why. Yes. I haven't watched it in a long time. But
I remember you didn't
it.
Say you said you didn't care much for it, but yeah, I that's one of my that's my Sunday night Monday.
Yeah, I like those guys, man. They've been doing it for a long time too.
In all honesty, if it wasn't for that podcast, we wouldn't be doing this because it was the first podcast I ever listened to, even before All Games. That's how I even found out about All Games. So,
because this type was a Bonami. Is what you call it?
Yeah, Bomani.
Bomani. Yeah, this type was a Bomani podcast originally, right?
Yep. But yeah. I didn't listen to it when it was back in the day. But it's been going for like over 10 years, 11 years, something like that. It's definitely one of the longest running podcasts ever. So, but yeah, shout out to Orange Lounge Radio. You guys should check that out. They're not part of All Games anymore. Them and Bobby Blackwood broke away, so, and started their own VOG network. And that's what I listen to a lot of times when I go to bed Sunday mornings. So, all right, cool. So we'll get to movies.
Yeah,
I guess somebody watched Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa.
I did. It was nice. It was funny. It's actually the first Jackass thing I've ever seen ever. I've never even seen a full like single skit of theirs before. So, But I thought this looked funny, and it has its moments. It's a bit like it tries to have this actual narrative in it. Mix, you know, when it has all these different moments from real life where they're, you know, doing the whole candid camera crap like Borat. But that narrative doesn't really work because the editing is really jumpy. So it just sort of like, because they're trying to do all these different funny moments. So they just jump into those and they'll have like a little bit in between, but it doesn't really work. But there are some hilarious moments. Do you care if I spoil things?
I've seen some skits on the actual Jackass with Bad Grandpa, so you know.
Well, the funniest one, I mean, I think a lot of people have seen because I think it was in the trailer too. The final little bit they do is where they dress up the boy as a girl and put him in a beauty pageant.
Yeah,
that's pretty funny. But my favorite one was when he goes in, you know, his grandpa to this strip club on a ladies' night, and it's in, I don't know what. Where they are, but it's all black. So there's just, you know, all these black men stripping. And then he ends up, he's talking to some of the women, and they're telling him, oh, yeah, you should join in too. So he does. Like, I think he keeps his shirt on, pulls down his pants, and then he has his sack, but not his real sack, obviously, but it's, like, hanging a foot down. And then he just starts, like, dancing. But then he starts, like, chasing all the strippers. And then, like, there's this one who's, like, doing a private thing for a woman. He smacks that stripper on the ass with his sack, and then he runs. He runs out of there as soon as that guy was going to kill him. He ran out of there real fast, but that was hilarious. But it has some good moments. It's worth, you know, a rental, but I feel like it could have done better, just meshing it all together with its narrative and everything. And I think the kid did a great job. I mean, he was like I think 8 years old when they did it. And to do some of the stuff he does where he doesn't even break or anything. That's impressive.
Nice. And then a movie we've all went and seen, Everything Is Awesome.
Oh my dude, let me tell you something. It took me 3 attempts to see that movie on Saturday. Last Saturday.
Oh my God, why?
Like everyone in America, well, we went out and did our taxes and we're like, okay, we'll just go after we do our taxes, we still got about a half an hour to get to the movie theater, which was like 8 minutes away from where we were. could not find parking. It seems like half of the population was trying to get into this movie in our area. So we're like, okay, we'll just drive 10 minutes down the road and go to, like, you know, go to the IMAX theater and see it there. Dude, we get there and there's a line, and we got there like a half hour before the movie started. By the time we got up to get our tickets, there were only 3 seats left, and they were in different parts of the theater.
Oh my gosh.
So we bought tickets for the next showing, and we was like, okay, there's a restaurant right here. We'll go here and eat real quick. We'll have our lunch so the kids aren't starving, and then we'll go.
Was it one of those theaters that had like a showing every hour or something?
Just about, yeah. So we we go to eat, and of course the food takes a little while to come out. And we have to hurry up and eat, and we rush over. You know, we have our tickets and everything. So, thankfully, my wife saw some colleagues from her job there, so they watched the kids. Then we had to run back and get, you know, popcorn and stuff like that for the show. And we're in the shortest line, and then there's like one woman in front of us. And then all of a sudden, the 8 kids that came with her show up right before she goes up there. So then we had to rush back and But once we finally sat down, me and my wife looked at each other and we were like, this movie better be good. And it was awesome.
Yeah, it was really good. Had a good message. It was a lot of good humor.
I think it's great for everyone, but I think if you are a Lego fan, there are so many little things in it that are just great. And I think my favorite character, which I wasn't expecting, was Charlie Day as this, you know, the astronaut. I forget his actual name.
Benny.
Just when he finally gets to do what he wants to do throughout the movie, that is the best part of the whole movie.
It is.
Like, when he just, and he just keeps screaming and screaming and screaming everything, all those quick cuts. Oh, God, I was dying right there.
Dude, it was so awesome, too, because, like, I saw, like, that Lego set, which is, like, that little white house with the pine tree and the oak tree. That's the first like Lego house I ever built. It was in the. I saw it. I was like, "Oh my god!" And then Benny, that Moon Station set. Yeah. I had that set. I'm like, "Oh my god! I had that set."
My favorite thing about Benny is just like every old Lego figure like that had the broken helmet.
Yes, yeah. it would always like the right hand side would always go up and the left hand side would always go down.
And the fact that his shirt had been worn away with the print on his shirt, I was like, oh my God, I had that figure. And that's what it looked like by the time I was done playing with it. Yep.
All did.
And so much attention to detail.
Yeah.
And, just some of the jokes were just, you know, they're so goofy, but they're so funny. Just like the whole Batman is a true artist. It's just, so I do think it had too much Batman in it, though.
Nah, all the kids loved it. Yeah, they loved the whole Batman in it. I'll tell you what, man.
No
for
Marvel.
Me, what sold the movie for me was the fact that as an adult, I found so much to like, you know, laugh about in that movie. And there's some pretty heady writing in there. But my kids, you know, they're 9. They were just in stitches the whole movie. I mean, we both got so much out of it, but at different levels. I mean, that's a great movie right there, man.
And they kept talking about the Craggle. I'm like, why would you name something so stupid as the Craggle? And then when you find out what it is, you're like, oh, God, it makes so much sense.
Like, I really, really enjoy the movie, but it's the end that makes me love the movie.
How everything
comes together. And it,
yes,
I kind of... Like, I made sure not to hear anything or read anything about it. And I kind of thought that could come into play. But I wasn't sure. But they did it so well.
If anybody ruins that part for you, you need to fucking shove something up their ass and make it come out their mouth. Because that's ridiculous.
And seal it up with Crackle.
Yeah, seal it up with Crackle. But, yeah, I was like, yeah, you know, and what was really bad is, I bought the game Friday night, or not Friday night. I don't remember what night I bought the game, but it was like I bought the game and then I had to wait 4 days to really play the game because I started playing the game. Like, okay, it's ruining the movie. It's like spoiling a lot of the movie starting out. And I was like, I played the first level. I was like, I don't want to play any more of this till I see the movie. So, and after I played went and seen the movie and started playing the game made a lot more sense as well. So,
yeah,
but yeah, it was fantastic. And, you know, yeah,
you know, the other thing that I loved about it too is like I was expecting. I was like, oh great, you know, you look at, you're on Netflix, you see all these CG Lego movies. Uh-huh. I'm like, oh, is this gonna be another CG movie? I'm like all CG'd out, and I saw it wasn't. I was like, whoa, this is amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was actually
I would definitely not be surprised though if, like, I'm fine with it because I don't really get sick or anything. But and especially because this is also in 3D, right? If you want.
No, I saw it in 3D.
Okay, so there is a 3D show.
3D, yeah. It looked incredible, but too.
I could see a lot of people getting sick from the point when they're in the water. That motion is very, like, herky-jerky. I mean, it's how you would expect it to look from a Lego ocean with flowing water, but if you get sick easy, I think that would make you vomit quick.
You know, and... To its credit, this is the first time I've been to a theater that had like that. I think it's called TX 3D. I had never seen it before. It's like high definition 3D, and it is like the best iteration of 3D I've seen in a movie theater before. It was really good. Like where I took my glasses off. Usually you take your glasses off, and it's like, oh, it's a 3D movie. When you take off your glasses, it's very subtle. You can still kind of, it looks like almost like a movie that's maybe just a little bit out of focus. But when you put them on, it's like every little thing is in 3D. It's really good.
That's awesome, because a lot of times those movies, if I watch a 3D movie, a lot of them give me headaches. Right. And I had to take my glasses off, and I'm like, well, I can't even fucking watch the movie at this point.
Yeah, my wife, the same thing. She usually gets headaches too. But I mean, it was so well done. It just after a while, it was just like, oh, okay. It just felt natural, and it didn't give you any of that. Well, at least my wife, it didn't give her any of that weirdness she usually gets. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. All right, TV. Who wants to talk about Enlisted?
I'll talk about it.
It's a Army show, Fox.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I was kind of hopeful for it, and then I think it's a decent show that has a nice little bit of heart to it. Especially I think it's picked up since the pilot was, I mean, the one thing that does get on my nerves sometimes is just the one, like, super emotional brother. He's like, oh my god, this guy can be a bit much.
Yeah,
but other than that, agreed. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm kind of digging it too. Like Mark said, I think it's growing, because the original pilot, I was like, eh, it was okay. But I've been watching it,
and I think it helps that religiously really comedies this year have been kind of shitty.
Yeah.
So anything that's even decent, I mean, I'm willing. Because, like, New Girl, I do not like it this year.
Yeah, New Girl's kind of fallen. Yeah, it's kind of fallen off for me, too.
And Brooklyn Nine-Nine just keeps getting better and better for me.
Dude, I loved it. I was about to say, that's probably, like,
the more favorite. I watch it, the more I'm okay with it getting the Golden Globe.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, oh, there's a reason for it.
But, yeah. But Black Sails. I want to watch this, but, you know, Stars.
Black
or whatever,
Sails,
right?
Man. I'll tell you, the only reason I've been watching this is because of Assassin's Creed. I'm not going to even get a lie, man.
When I say the previews for that, I was like, is this an Assassin's Creed movie? Because that's exactly what it looked like. Like Assassin's Creed 4. Yeah. I was like, what the hell?
I'm really hopeful for this series, but so far it's been kind of a mixed bag. I mean, the production value and everything is there. But it's just kind of like a slow burn. I mean, I want more to happen than this happened after three episodes. One of the protagonists in it, this guy, his name is John Silver. I don't like the dude at all. You know, that's kind of one of, you know, you have to have like the roguish, opportunistic guy, you know, in a pirate movie or show or whatever, but you got to make him likable, and this guy just seems a little too schwarmy for me, man. I don't know. We'll see how things work out, but I'm still hopeful. I mean, I'm not disliking the show. I'm not going to stop watching it. I'm just hoping for things to pick up a little bit. That's all.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's about three episodes, I think. Yeah, tonight, well, Sunday night, will be episode 4. So we'll see how things work out.
All right. And it seems like nobody read anything this week of interest. Nope. So, and the only news story we have here is Little Mac is going to be in Super Smash Brothers
Yep, which I put in there because this is the first time I've ever been excited about that franchise. And I don't know what that says about me.
Little Mac. Who the hell is Little Mac?
Oh, my God.
Like sounds like a pimp.
Dude.
You really don't know who that
punch,
is.
Punch Out? Is
it Punch Out? I'm not much of a Nintendo guy.
Wait,
Get off my fucking podcast.
Did you say Punch Out with a question as if you never played it?
No, I played it, but all I remember is the Tyson guy and Glass Joe.
Wait, the Tyson guy?
Who's Tyson? Did you know he's based on a real person?
I don't know what the characters' names are. All I know is Glass Joe. I never got past Glass Joe.
Rich, you know who Mike Tyson is, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it was Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
And then it was what Dream?
No, but
Mr.
But
Dreams.
Okay. I don't know. I'm getting confused. I guess I don't know. They're all the same to me.
We can't hold it against him. He's old. He can't remember shit.
That's true. Alzheimer's is not.
I mean, he's old enough to be your father in reality, and old enough to be my grandfather.
Oh my God, I'm taking this. Okay. You know what? I'll take it this time.
That's what old people always take it.
Okay, hold on a second. Hey, babe, Little Mac, who is that from Punch Out? Do you know who that is? Okay, she's a Nintendo person. She doesn't even know who that is.
It's freaking nerds. It's the character you play as in the Punch Out games.
Oh, you're Little Mac?
Yes.
That's his name?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Little white guy named Little Mac? What?
Well, yeah, you know. Yeah. His name's
He said that with a very racist tone.
Yeah. Yeah, what's wrong with being white?
He's like, "Oh, he's white and he's little. Who cares?" Well,
I felt like I was getting teamed up on, so I had to fight back. They actually gave that guy a name.
No, he's just random white boxer. That's all it is.
Well, you can see. Apparently, I'm a huge Punch Out fan, right?
It's one of my favorite Nintendo games.
Dude, I didn't even play Nintendo console until the GameCube, and the only reason I bought it is because of my wife.
I bet your wife likes white people.
Now, I like white people, too.
I was not expecting this story to have all this happen.
When they're not calling me old.
Once you get older, your skin will turn pasty white with psoriasis or whatever. I don't know.
That's the Michael Jackson disease.
Yes. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, this
show has become racist.
It's always racist.
Little Mac. Okay, it's not Little Mac, it's Little Mac. Okay, he could be white. Yeah.
We white people use all our letters.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Oh, he's not Little Mac, he's Little Mac. Oh, okay. That makes a lot of difference in the world. Freaking Punch Out. I hate that game. I can't get past the first guy.
You should never admit that. You should go back and play that game and
I don't care.
There's no way you can't get past him.
Glass Joe is like almost impossible to lose to.
Glass Joe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Somebody out there knows the damn code to play as Tyson. No. This is good.
No, it's not. This is bad. It's only getting worse. Hey, Target, buy an Xbox One, get a free $50 gift card.
Wow. They're really trying to sell these systems.
They are.
I did want to say something, too. Right now, Halo had to be put on a limited diet because he's got food allergies so bad.
What's he allergic to?
We don't know everything. Any food we feed him, he has allergic. He's like, his ears are getting thick. And stuff.
Really? Yeah,
he's
breaking out.
Yeah,
Halo's breaking out, dude.
He's itching all over. So we've had to feed him food. We're trying to find limited ingredient shit, and he won't eat it. He just like, it's like, I was like, why won't you eat this expensive organic food? And then I go to the grocery store. I'm like, I don't want any of this expensive organic food. It looks like crap. So I get where he's coming from, but he's like, he's on a food strike right now, and it's sad.
Halo's like, you're not eating it. I'm not eating it.
So it's kind of funny. So I've been trying to find any kind of limited ingredient food that he likes, and it's become a nightmare where I just like I'm like, would you eat something? Because he's literally on food strike. He won't eat anything unless we put his other food in it, and he'll dump his bowl out, and he will eat the pieces of the food that he wants and leave the rest of it.
Oh, my God. What is this, a freaking IRA and a hunger strike or something?
I don't know, but it's terrible. It's stressing me out.
Well, he'll get hungry enough at some point. Well, he'll just eat what he has to eat.
Yeah, but I don't want him to
stop. I hope. I hope.
And so we found this limited ingredient wet dog food, and he really enjoys eating that. I mean, but he'll chow down on it. But I'm just so scared that he's not getting enough food to eat. It's scaring me. But it's either we got to find out what he's allergic to. Either that, it's either do it this way, where we get him down to a level where he can't, where he stops itching, and then slowly say, okay, you can eat this piece of chicken. Does you break out? No.
Right.
I'll give it to you for a few days. Did you break out? No. Okay, you can have chicken now.
That's kind of weird. He just gets his allergy now.
No. He's had it his entire life. We fight this, and we just can't get rid of it. And they think that's what's causing his seizures.
Oh.
So we're trying to really narrow it down now because he's getting older. And I'm just, And I'm just like, we keep giving him food with different ingredients, and it's like he's always itching. So it's either do this or it's a $400 test to pay to have find out what he's allergic to, which my mom is at this point kind of like, you know, maybe we should just do the damn test because I'm sick of buying three different types.
Well, I'll tell you what, cost-wise, I mean, it kind of makes sense just to do the test, just to kind of narrow things down. You'd spend a ton of money trying to figure out what he can eat.
The food that we've got him, I got him some venison and sweet potatoes, and he wouldn't eat that. So I went and got some samples of a food that was kangaroo and red lentils. And
dude. And where did you get that from? Berkeley?
It is from a food place called California Naturals. So, but he would eat it a couple pieces of snack, and then he wouldn't touch it. So, but he liked it the best out of everything. But there's just some weird flavors like salmon and peas, and like the most normal one is like lamb and rice. But. But I'm like, God, dog, would you just eat something? You're killing me. But anyway, I just wanted to get that out of my system because it's kind of funny that my dog's eating kangaroo and liked it. So.
That is.
But.
Kayla starts barking in an Australian accent.
Wolf, mate. Wolf.
Right?
All right, I guess we should end the show here because Chris is like, I'm not talking about his dog.
I refuse.
No, I'm just
sitting there with his hands folded.
I'm tired. And also, I've been keeping generally quiet just because there's been some issue with us talking over each other. Like there's some kind of delay or something. So.
Uh-oh. Hopefully that isn't too bad. No, all right.
There's nothing. It won't be on the recording.
Okay.
All right. So let's get our plugs in.
I'm on Twitter, @Kush3, Instagram, mkush, site. Where you need to get all this poop and shit and whatnot, and pee-pee and caca, and corn dogs. I don't know. PixelatedSausage.com. And, of course, check out this podcast to get all the links and whatnot. Go to PixelatedRadio.com. I don't know. FrontBurner.net. FrontBurner without the E. .net. FrontBurner.net. Check out some podcasts liked. The Sprite Stuff, which you can find at FrontBurner or iTunes. Just search for The Sprite Stuff. And then the Signed In Podcast at signedinpodcast.com. The Two-Headed Nerd Comicast at twoheadednerd.com. And Hotcakes Man, Undercover Unit's Hearts ended, I think maybe like a month ago or so. But he recently started up a wrestling podcast. And there's been two episodes so far. And you can find it. It's already on iTunes. It's called Kicking Out at the Symbol 2. So
that's a weird name, at the Symbol 2.
Kicking Out at 2. Okay. So, check it out. Hotcakes Man is a good man. So,
Rich.
If you like wrestling.
Yes.
What the fuck is the name of this podcast that you're doing now?
Oh, it's called... Well, it was Grand Am Unleashed. Now it is Sports Car Unleashed. And we actually have a normal URL now.
What?
You can check us out at scunleashed.com. Simple. And if you're into sports car racing, check it out. I'll do that show with my co-host Chad Casey and Tommy Brolsma. And I'm always looking for new friends on Xbox and PSN. So my gamer tag is RolexDP Racer. It's also my Twitter tag. So follow me, friend me. Let's be pals. And that's about it, guys.
All right. And I'm Henderson Man on just about everything, including my dating sites. Usually it's HendersonMan77, though. Please, if you're a woman, you're nearby, you're hot, you know what I want, baby.
God.
Someone's getting their swagger back.
And if
it's, it's all that free range talk.
And I need to be a good woman from Berkeley with her unshaved armpits. Yeah, that's what I need.
And kangaroo meat. Unlimited supply of.
And if you're too ridiculously hot, I know it's somebody playing a joke on me, so don't be an asshole. All right. Everybody, that's going to be it for the show. Have a good evening.
Adios.
Take it easy, guys.